Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Patrick Smith, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. You just heard some sound of pro-Palestinian student activists at UChicago. Protests continued there and at Northwestern and DePaul on Saturday and Sunday. Each scenario is unique, but the weekend saw the arrival of more counter-protesters, including Jane Volshin from Buffalo Grove, who was at DePaul.
We stand with Israel, we stand with America, and this is just unacceptable. And I'm an alumni of this school, and I can't believe that this is happening here on campus. Because Israel has a right to exist. This is pure terrorism, in my opinion.
No arrests were initially reported at DePaul, UChicago, or Northwestern, but that was not the case at the School of the Art Institute downtown.
Dozens of arrests were carried out on the grounds of the Art Institute just hours after a small pro-Palestinian encampment was set up in the museum's North Garden.
Video from just before 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon shows protesters on the ground, some with their hands behind their backs in handcuffs, as police try to break up a group with their arms interlocked in a circle.
Reporting there from CBS and ABC, in a few minutes we'll hear from two students, editor-in-chief of the DePaulia, Lily Keller, and editor-in-chief of the Daily Northwestern, to discuss the encampments at their universities. But first, I sat down with WBEZ higher education reporter Lisa Kurian-Phillip on what she saw during her reporting.
I saw the encampment go up last week, and I've seen, you know, kind of like a daily roster of activities. They have teach-ins, they have Know Your Rights trainings, but there's also been some counter-protests there as well. I think students are feeling like they're in a really good position in terms of negotiations with the university, although we, of course, have seen some stalling there. So I'm very curious to see what will happen there.
Yeah, I'm interested about the negotiations. The communication we're seeing from students overnight and this morning is that they've seen some breakdowns in the talks with university leadership. I mean, what happened? They were talking about some sort of a midnight deadline last night. That's what the students were saying. What's the latest there?
According to organizers of the encampment, they were trying to, you know, advance negotiations yesterday during the day with deans at the university. And according to, you know, their perspective, together they were actually making some movement there. But I think once some of that movement had been run up the chain, from their understanding, the president sort of put the kibosh on all that. And it seems that negotiations have really come to an end there. But part of the agreement in terms of just getting student activists to the table was to have sort of like 12 hours of amnesty, basically, where the university couldn't authorize a police raid on the encampment. So from what I was hearing, that sort of started at noon yesterday and ended at midnight. So there was this fear, you know, I was getting frantic messages that they were expecting a police raid. We didn't see that come to fruition, but I know that protesters there are still on edge waiting for something to happen.
And then this morning, I mean, UChicago faculty and staff, they held a press conference from campus asking the administration to return to bargaining with the students.
That's right.
Any more updates beyond that?
Yeah, they're definitely saying, please don't send the police, basically. We've seen what has happened at other campuses when that takes place. You need to uphold these values of free speech and campus safety that you talk about so often, especially at the University of Chicago, and you need to stick to that. Otherwise, you know, the faculty were saying we will, the faculty, at least in the Faculty for Justice in Palestine, they were saying we will stand with students and we're willing to be arrested right alongside with them in order to keep them safe.
Something that we have seen happen at other yes. campuses across the country. Absolutely. You spoke with UChicago undergrad Hassan. He's an organizer of the encampment, using just his first name out of concern for his safety. Here's his take on negotiations with the university.
The administration was not negotiating seriously, and the way that we know that is that not only did they not concretely engage with any of our demands before demanding the disbandment of the encampment, but Paul himself, even off the record, couldn't acknowledge the fact that universities in Gaza have been destroyed.
So remind us, what are UChicago's pro-Palestinian protesters? What are they calling for?
They're mainly, as other protesters at other campuses are asking for, are disclosure and divestment from companies that are in any way supporting Israeli military action in Gaza. So that could be arms manufacturers like Raytheon, General Dynamics, that sort of company. They're asking for all of the university's investments to be pulled from companies like that. And then just, you know, even making a step in that direction, they're asking for these investments to be disclosed. Because right now, there's definitely a lot of secrecy behind what the university invests in, and that's pretty common at private universities. So they're just asking for the university to be transparent about those investments. And then an interesting thing that I think the UChicago protesters are asking for that I haven't heard from other campuses is they're asking for UChicago leadership to just acknowledge the destruction of all of Gaza's universities, which has been fairly well reported. And according to protesters there, they've said that in meetings that, as we heard Hassan say, you know, in that tape a little while ago, President Paul Alivisados is not willing to acknowledge that that's the case.
Mm. I mentioned, you know, there have been counter-protesters showing up at some of these encampments. You were at UChicago shortly after the counter-protesters sort of surged toward the encampment last week. Who are these counter-protesters? What is the what message did you hear from them?
Yeah, so there definitely have been some pro-Israeli counter-protesters demanding that Hamas free hostages, but also, you know, they believe that these student protesters who are demonstrating in support of Palestinians in Gaza, that they are in some way practicing anti-Semitism, that, you know, Israel has the right to defend itself given the attacks that killed, you know, more than 1,000 Israelis on October 7th. They believe that these protests are basically threatening the right for the Jewish people to have a state of their own. It's interesting what I heard at UChicago as well was some of that plus some like pro-America, you know, counter protesters.
Not necessarily talking about the Israeli cause, just feeling that these students at the encampment are anti-American in some way.
I guess that's implied. I'm not sure exactly. Yeah.
You spoke with Callie Madoff, a member of the UChicago Faculty for Justice in Palestine, the group you were just talking about. I want to listen to what she had to say about the counter protests.
This display that we're seeing here from the counter-protesters, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing at this elite institution where we think so critically about you know, what are our values and how do we understand politics and power and all these things. And for people to come shouting, like, USA, USA, it was... I couldn't honestly believe what I was seeing there.
It's impossible to tell the future, Lisa, but you've got faculty saying the administration needs to come back to the table. Obviously, students want that. Do you expect to hear more from administrators today at the University of Chicago?
I know. I'm certainly hoping to hear more. You know, in a statement last night, they said that basically, like, we couldn't give in to the students' demands because they don't align with university principles. And I know I'm very curious to hear what those principles are, where they sort of depart from what students are asking for in their demands. So I will definitely be paying attention today to see what happens.
That's WBEZ higher education reporter Lisa Phillips. She's going to stay with us as we turn our attention to the latest from DePaul University.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I was actually at the DePaul encampment yesterday in Lincoln Park. Got there around 9:30 in the morning. There are about 100 tents set up on the quad. It was a very calm and friendly setting when I got there. The food tent was handing out bagels. Some students I saw were charging their devices at a solar-powered station. I will say the students that I approached were not interested in talking to me, which is their right. But I talked to Peter Udis. He's a professor of philosophy at Oakton College and was visiting the encampment to support the student activists.
This is an expression, this encampment, of a sea change of attitude among American youth and many others around the world who refuse to accept the lie that criticizing Israel makes you anti-Semitic. I'm Jewish myself. I'm a member of Jewish Voice for Peace as well. And I think it's amazing that these students have this high level of social consciousness and empathy.
Around 10, a group of counter-protesters showed up outside the encampment. They were draped in Israeli flags, some of them holding signs with pictures of hostages being held by Hamas. Raissa Zarkin traveled from the northern suburb of Bannockburn to join the counter-protest.
We would like peace for Palestinians and Israelis, free of Hamas, not free of Israel. I think Israel wants peace and wants everybody to coexist together. And this is, yes, this is pure hatred towards Jewish students. And they don't feel safe on campus. They don't feel safe anywhere.
So the activists in the encampment, they knew the counter-protesters were coming. They set up barricades at all the entrances of the quad. They linked arms to form a human chain. That started what was the beginning of an hours-long face-off between the students in the encampment and these counter-protesters. Also, so I was out there, but also out there reporting at DePaul yesterday was Lily Keller, editor-in-chief of the DePaulia. She's been covering these encampments since it went up a week ago. Knows a lot more about the encampment than I do. Hi, Lily.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So today marks day 7 of the DePaul Divest Coalition's encampment. What's the latest?
So as you were saying, things leading up before Sunday had really been peaceful, both in what I've seen being there every single day, but also what other faculty members have told the DePaulia. But leading up to then, so we know it formed Tuesday morning with, they had 6 demands, like as a lot of other schools did, but the main ones being to disclose the investments and to divest from Israel. But there was one main counter-protest on the first day, last Tuesday, at around 3 p.m., with around 25 counter-protesters draped in Israeli flags. But that, it didn't escalate to much. It was over within an hour at most. But things were definitely building throughout the week. We heard from students and organizers of the encampment that they were meeting with the negotiation team from the university, which was comprised of 9 members of the Office of Academic Affairs, the Division of Mission and Ministry, and the Office of Student Affairs. But their biggest takeaway from it is that no one within these meetings had decision-making authority. So I think they felt that they were not being taken seriously. And as of Friday, when we spoke to the media liaison of the encampment, they said they were not interested in continuing these negotiations, but that there was a future meeting in sight, but we did not know when that was Friday. And then obviously Sunday, as we were both there, things really came to a head when it was around 10:30, I believe, when the counter-protest amassed outside the quad and CPD was already on scene. The university said that they did not contact CPD. CPD was there because of it was a protest and that they have been doing a similar thing with other university protests going on. But basically, there were, again, the pro-Palestinian protesters and the pro-Israeli protesters. It definitely tensions were, you could feel tensions on both sides. And at one point, CPD had physically blocked off the sidewalk, and they told us it was not public property at around 1 p.m. yesterday. But things, luckily, there were no, like you said, no arrests, no physical altercations from what we saw at the scene. And it eventually dissipated enough for CPD to stop blocking up the quad and let us through. But there were, you know, CPD did not have a comment for us, but it was definitely tense and I think a little worrying.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you and I were talking before we went on the air. You said this is the first time in your reporting that CPD has showed up to the encampment, at least that you're aware of.
Yes, yeah, since then, DePaul, we do not have an on-campus police force. There's been no, the encampment, I don't think it was the encampment has hired private security. So there's been private, you know, people there, but it's been very peaceful up until that point. You know, the every day the encampment releases an agenda, and it's from what we've seen, you know, prayers, group meals. So it was, yeah, we've not seen anything like this.
So the school, DePaul administrators, has emphasized their Vincentian values, as in St. Vincent de Paul, when defending their response to the encampment. I actually saw some signs up yesterday saying that St. Vincent would have been on the side of the protesters in the encampment, people kind of trying to lay claim to St. Vincent de Paul's values. But help us understand, what are those values? How have they impacted the student protests at DePaul?
Yes, so the Vincentian values that DePaul has...
Thank you for saying that correctly. My catechism teachers are going to be upset with me for this.
No, of course, of course. I actually didn't know I wasn't familiar with the branch of Catholicism until I became, you know, went to DePaul. But basically the university is guided by five or six principles. They're Vincentian personalism, radical hospitality, integrity, a belief in the dignity of every individual, a commitment to building community, and attention to the holistic development of students, and also special attention to the poor and marginalized. And DePaul is a saying, it's, you know, everywhere, it's what must be done, which we as students sometimes kind of joke about. But at DePaul, you know, these Vincentian values guide the school through education and trying to build a future of, you know, humility and just uplifting others. So I think, I know from when the protest or the encampment first started, the Dean Lexa Murphy of the College of Communication told us that DePaul did not want to, you know, mimic what other universities are doing and calling in the police. So I think they definitely wanted to take a more peaceful approach. But I think to some, it at this point looks passive from what we've heard. So I think, you know, their heart might be in the right place with trying to just handle this with as little violence. And, you know, obviously they don't want any students to get hurt. But I think it's really put them, you know, between like a rock and a hard place.
That's editor-in-chief of the DePaul, Lily Keller. Thanks, Lily. I want to bring in to discuss the Northwestern encampment, Jacob Wendler, editor-in-chief of the Daily Northwestern. Jacob, student organizers there have reached a deal with administrators. They reached a deal last Monday. What are the details? Are students satisfied with the result?
Yeah, so the deal reached between organizers of the encampment and the administration is basically a compromise between what both sides were seeking. The organizers agreed to take down all of the tents except for one, which has medical supplies, and make sure that there were no non-university affiliates at the encampment and observe other university policies, including a noise ordinance. And in response, the university said that they would give something akin to disclosure with regard to their investments, which has been a main demand of lots of pro-Palestinian encampments. So they said they would answer questions from internal stakeholders about their investments, and also that they would reestablish an advisory committee on investment responsibility, which would include student input. In addition, they said that they would provide more support for Palestinian, Muslim, and Arab students, including a affinity space on campus for Middle East, North African students, as well as providing scholarships for Palestinian students and faculty. It's definitely been, I'd say the agreement has had a divisive kind of reaction from the student body. Some folks are really happy that a deal was reached. I'd say the administration is certainly pleased that they were able to avoid sending in the police or any sort of violent clashes. But there's a lot of students as well who feel that the negotiating committee of the encampment should have pushed harder for divestment and not accepted any concessions without full commitment from the university to divest from companies linked to Israel.
I wonder if I could ask you, I mean, what's the experience been like for you being out there reporting on the encampment?
Yeah, it's certainly been a challenge that a lot of us didn't anticipate having to take on originally. But, you know, as soon as the encampment went up two Thursdays ago in the morning, we went into 24/7 live breaking news coverage. And, you know, thankfully, we had the really phenomenal work of student journalists across the country who had dealt with these kind of encampments at like Columbia University and Harvard University to, you know, ask them for advice and look at how they had approached these kinds of situations and make sure that we had a wide group of experienced reporters who were committed to being there 24/7, taking shifts while also, you know, taking care of ourselves and making sure we were bringing live updates both on X and on our website on a live blog to the community about what was happening.
Lily, I only got about 30 seconds, but what's your experience been like out there at the encampment?
Once we saw especially Northwestern's encampment go up, we knew it was just a matter of time before this was going to happen. So we made it so our website could do live updates and function as a live blog. But nothing could have prepared us for this, especially when we're a little understaffed right now. So it's just been five of us really committed to it every day.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert Baer and Meha Ahmad. It was mixed by Brenda Ruiz. Did you like this conversation? Don't forget to check out a full list of our conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Patrick Smith. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely